My first question to ask you is, what are the effects of sin? And of course, like sometimes, I always like to have some of you guys shout out the answers. So what are some effects of sin? Don't shout it down. Destroys families. Yes. Lies, okay. People don't trust you because you're lying. That's a sin. Result, people don't trust you. Anybody else? One more. Yes, Jacob. Broken relationship with the Lord. Yes, good. Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read that, and the Lord kind of added this to my notes about 25 minutes ago. But Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. And since I'm reading that verse first, we can stand for the reading of that. Psalm 51, 3 and 4. It says, "For I acknowledge," this is David speaking, "I acknowledge, I recognize my transgressions." He knows what he did, and he knows that it was wrong, right? I acknowledge my transgressions. Has it ever happened where you've done something wrong and then you try to acknowledge that you did it? It wasn't me. It's the devil's fault. It's my wife's fault, my husband's fault, my kid's fault. No, it's your fault. I acknowledge my transgressions. Sometimes I'm not sure how well you do at passing the buck, but it stops with you. It starts with you and stops with you there. So he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you," who is he talking to? The Lord, God. "Against you, you only have I sinned." So let's just real quick stop and think. The last time you did something wrong towards anyone, towards yourself, you did it to God first. You might think, no, I did it to so-and-so. No, I did it to my Aunt Lucy. No, you did it to God first. "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." And God, because he's always good and he's always right, he's never wrong when he judges. Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Father, as we look to your word. It is our weapons for this fight that we have. It is our weapon, oh God, that we must learn how to use, that we must understand what it is. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My next scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6, and this is one of the scriptures that I was thanking the Lord for earlier, and just thanking him for what the scripture has been doing lately for me and in my battle, just trying to just take authority over these, fleeing thoughts sometimes, For those of you that have those lights on your porch or in your backyard, it attracts those flies and mosquitoes, and you might sit there and every so often you're you see the little mosquitoes go into that light. You have something there to attract those mosquitoes. And one of the things is that sometimes in our minds, our flesh likes to rise up and things just end up attracting, and then you just start having these thoughts, and it's like I want to, be able to use this verse as that light. Every time a thought comes, it has to come to this scripture here, and then it just burns up and it dies, and the thought just stops there and it dies there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So we all have this battle. There is a preacher who has a book and a series, Battle of the Minds, I think is what it's called, and War of the Minds or whatever, and so Battlefield of the Minds. And so there is a battle in our minds, and so this fight that we have that we war against, it's not according to the flesh, where we end up using weapons that are I'm not sure how many of you ever threw a piddle at somebody. Maybe, you probably did out of humor, or just laughing and having a pillow fight. But how many of you threw something like a pillow or a vase or a vase or a plate at someone, and it was because out of anger? I've shared the story with you before about how there's still a hole in my bathroom door because of my stupidity, and I got angry and I put a hole, I punched the door, and it's not a big, huge hole, but it's just a small small hole in my bathroom door to remind me that the wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. And so it's just a clear indication every time I see it, you know, big dummy, what you put a hole in that door for? Did not demonstrate and show the righteousness of God. So verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So it's not material. It's not, you know, something of the flesh or something physical. But they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And a lot of times, you know, it might seem overwhelming and just, oh, I'm so tired, you know, because of these thoughts you're having to, every time it comes, you know, it's like you're shooting at a disc and pull, you know, and you're shooting at it because you just want that thought to go away and you're wanting to destroy that thought. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How many want to live a life of obedience to the Father? Amen. I want to live that life all the way to my end, to the last breath, so that I too can say I was obedient to the Father. I was obedient to Him. Yes, I messed up and I made mistakes, but thank God I confessed my sins and God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. So our fight is against the enemy. It's against myself because my old self wants to resurrect. My old self wants to come back to life and I got to, you know, kill my old self. I have to tell the old self to die. You're no longer in control here. Jesus is in control. And so this fight, it begins in the mind. And so this video that I want to share with you by Dwayne Sheriff, Strongholds. Now, this is video 2 of 4. And he talks and he shares some really important key point. He makes key points about our thoughts, our higher thoughts, and imaginations. And this really opened up something about the thoughts and the battle that we have, the battle in our minds of what we have. So, strongholds, what we have to understand and know and fight against. And so what are our weapons? Our weapons is God's word. And how do we use them against the times of where the enemy or ourself allows these thoughts, these higher thoughts or even imaginations? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11, it talked about how they were to put God's word in front of them. Talk about God's word with their children. Now, some of the men didn't have children, but it did say, talk about it when you're at home, when you lie down, when you wake up. Put them on the doorpost of your house. Now, God's word's not telling us to graffiti our house, but He is telling us to put my word in front of you. Talk about my word. Teach my word. Have it always in front of you, around you. And so we need to know the word. You need to know your weapon. Now, it would be, you know, if you have a slew of weapons in your house, from, you know, bow and arrows to shotguns to pistols, and there was to be a group of people that would come and break into your house, and you're like, I don't know how to use those weapons. I don't know the combination to that safe. It would have been smart to go ahead and put the combination somewhere just in case I forgot. But I can't get to any of my weapons. I don't know how to use that shotgun. I don't know how to use that bow and arrow. And then here comes the enemy. You have all of that huge, you know, arsenal of weapons. And you don't know how to use it. I mean, what a waste of money to have all that arsenal of weapons. Intruders come in and you have no idea how to use it. We have the Bible. You have it on a shelf. You have it in the car. You have it on your phone. And when a difficult time comes, you don't know where to go. You don't know what scripture to call out. You don't know where it's at. You haven't taken the time to read it. You haven't taken the time to memorize it. You haven't taken the time to meditate on it. The children in this church, they memorize scripture. So if children can memorize scripture, we as adults, we have no excuse whatsoever not to memorize scripture. Now, that doesn't mean we have to know the whole Bible. I mean, if you want to, go ahead and try to. There are kids called, but there's a program for the children that I met some kid at kids camp who can quote the whole book of Ephesians. because they're in this Bible memorization club, and I'm thinking, wow, that made me feel about that small. But we are to read the word, memorize it, and meditate on it. And so what's another way that we can use our weapons? Hold on to the word. You know, in the face of a fight, you will hold on to the word, not the issue at hand. For instance, you get one of these from your mechanic. It says engine repair, $12,000. You start freaking out. You start whining, complaining, or you can put that down and start picking up the word. God, I know that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. God, I know that, Lord, I bring my first fruits to your house, to the storehouse, and I know, God, that I'm putting you first, Lord. I bring all my tithes to the storehouse, God, and I know that you'll take care of me. God, you will never leave me nor forsake me. So you know what? Okay, this $1,200, all right, Lord, you're going to pay for it somehow, some way. I don't know. I know what's in my bank account, and it's not that enough. It's not enough, but God, I know. And so you can go to worry about this, not being able to fall asleep, whining, complaining, arguing about how much money is being spent and this and that, and believe me, I've done this. Or you can learn to just pick up the word of God and begin to read it, begin to quote it, pull out some scriptures. You can have this. Josiah, I need you to come on up here real quick. I want you to come on over here. So I can tell Josiah to do something, and he can have an attitude towards me. And he can look at me, and he can have an attitude and say, I'm not doing it, that's dumb. Say it.
I'm not doing it, that's dumb.
And then walk away. I can go ahead and throw the pillow at him. And if that doesn't work, I can grab my shoe and throw it at him. I can do that. So this came to my mind about using this analogy for the very purpose, the chancla, for the very purpose of anyone that has ever allowed the anger or frustration to cause you to throw something. My kids will be honest, I've never thrown in anger, in jest and joking, yes, thrown a pillow at them, but I've never threw my shoe, a pot and pan, I've never threw a pot and pan at Shannon, I've never done any of that, okay? But we can, if we allow ourselves to, we can. We can either hold on to the word of God, and in the face of a fight, in the face of a disagreement, in the face of difficulty, in the face of getting some bad news, whatever it might be, from the doctor, from the mechanic, whatever, we can get bad news, and in the face of that, hold on to God's word or hold on to the issue at hand. This is how we can fight against this war. It's not according to the flesh, so I'm not supposed to use my shoe or a pillow, but I'm supposed to hold on to God's word. So we are to know the word, we're to hold on to the word, and then apply the word. Don't just read it, do what it says. Tell yourself what to do. What do you mean, tell myself what to do? Turn away from the situation and turn to the word. So, James 1:20. You might want to lash out on someone, again, with road rage or with a certain, you know, person, spouse, child, parent. You can retaliate or say, you know what? The wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. And you turn away from the situation and you act it out. This is one thing. It's one thing to know what God's word says. It's another thing to not apply it. If you know what it says, then apply God's word to your life. Act it out so that you can convince yourself that and believe that what you're doing, you are applying God's word to your situation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And this is God's armor. And I thought, you know what, God? Your armor that you give us, we can use it as weapons. We can use it as weapons. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the plans of the devil. Anybody ever experienced one of those before? wiles, the schemes, the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So in those instances, I'm not fighting Josiah. I'm not fighting my son. I'm fighting what the enemy's trying to do to cause some division, to cause some disruption, to cause some kind of devil's plan, wiles, or schemes to go on in my house. I can allow that to happen, or I can hold on to God's word. So our battle, our fight, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For those of you that love sci-fi movies, I mean, you can just imagine, use your imagination from some of those sci-fi movies, what literally happens in the spirit realm when things try to go awry, when the devil's trying to bring his plans or his schemes into your life, into your family's life, into your home. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And this is one important thing you have to remind yourself. And I'm not sure how many of you have to remind yourself often. Maybe some of you more than others. But you ain't got the power. It's not in you. What we read earlier in 2 Corinthians, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They are mighty in God and in his power. So you don't have it. And a lot of times we think that we got it. Oh, yeah, I know the scripture. Oh, yeah, I went ahead and went to church. Oh, yeah, I did communion. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can look at yourself and pose yourself as someone greater than you are based on what you're doing. And not even look to that the weapons are not yours to begin with. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in his power to the pulling down of those strongholds. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When this letter was written to the Ephesian church, they understood because they always saw people that had armor similar to this. I mean, I would doubt that not any believer in Ephesus, if they had never seen a soldier with the full armor of God, they would be like, well, what's a breastplate? What's a shield? I've never seen that before. What's a feet shod? What is that? No, they saw, so they recognized what it was. And we all know what a soldier or a person who has a whole armor, we know what that looks like because we've seen pictures of it. These people had actually seen it. Of course, there weren't any pictures of that. They actually literally saw it. So again, our weapons are not carnal of the flesh. My hands, a plate, a pillow, my shoe. These weapons are God's words. These weapons are God's instructions. These weapons are God's ideas for living. So when you have to face fear, what do you use? What do you use when you face fear? Hopefully you're using the shield of faith. My faith is not in me. My faith is not in what the mechanic said. My faith is in what God's word says. So when you hold up God's word or when you bring to your remembrance what God's word says, what you memorized, maybe it's in a jingle, maybe it's in a song, maybe it's just in a phrase, and you actually bring that up to the situation and this situation goes down, but we raise up what God says, the knowledge of God, we hold on to that. So when fear comes, we hold up and we use the shield of faith. What does God say about being with you? I remember Jesus saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember Jesus saying that in your heart, the Father and I, we will make our abode with you. I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. So in the time of fear, I can either cause this to rise above the situation, and this is all that I see, or I can go ahead and say, man, I rebuke that thought. I'm not even sweating it. I'm not even afraid of that, God, because I know you got me. I know that you are with me. Joshua 1:9. Let's put that up on the screen, Jacob. Joshua 1:9. Do you know that fear is enemy number one against faith? Fear will cause you to not look at what God's word says and to believe and trust in what God's word says. Fear causes you to see everything that's in the negative first, and you're not able to see what God's saying. So God tells Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And when this verse came to my mind, I thought, the question that came to my mind is, what if someone was to say, yeah, but God said that to Joshua in the Old Testament? Well, Joshua didn't have the Holy Spirit of the living God living inside of him like we as believers do today. So if God was saying that to Joshua, who didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him, what do you think God's telling us today who has the Holy Spirit in us? It's the same thing, and even more so, that God will be with us wherever we go. Wherever we go, don't be dismayed. Wherever we go, be of good courage. Wherever we go, be strong. Wherever we go, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. So when fear tries to come up and try to get us to be afraid, trying us to forget about what God said, we can use our shield of faith and trust in what God, what do you say about this? God, what do you say about that? And how about slander? I used that word last week, slander, where people say things negative of you. People try to taint your testimony. You might be at work and people are saying all these nasty things about you, trying to mess up what you have accomplished in being a faithful, hardworking worker, because you do everything as unto the Lord, not to be known by what you do, because you do it for your boss or your boss lady, your boss man or your boss lady, but you do it as unto the Lord. And because you do so, you do it to the best of your abilities. So you do it on time and you're faithful and you're hardworking. But then there comes people that want to go ahead and taint what you've done, taint what you've said, turn it around, and all they're doing is trying to create difficulty, and there's slander involved. What do you do? I thought, Lord, I'll use the helmet. I just pictured myself pointing at my head, my mind. I'll use the helmet of salvation. What is God? I need to know what God says. I need to know what God says about me. I need to know what God says. Who am I? So use the helmet of salvation. Know who you are. Have an identity that you are the child of the living God, and he dwells inside of you, and wherever you go, he's with you. Anybody ever been hurt by words? Kids, you ever hurt anybody with words? Adults, you ever hurt anybody with words? You know that lack of words can hurt? Lack of words can hurt? Try spending an hour or so cooking and slaving in the kitchen and nobody at the table ever say thank you. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. That kind of hurts. Words hurt. And I thought, you know what? Words do hurt. They'll hurt even more if you allow it to. They'll do it even more if those words that people have said end up rising above what God says about you. I made you. I created you. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. And you are my child. I mean, so when we begin to lift up and raise up the words and the things that other people have said about us above what God has said, of course those words are going to hurt us. Of course we're going to actually feel horrible. And of course, you know what's going to begin to happen? We're going to start believing those words. We're going to start believing what other people are saying about us. And we forget, because that's all we see. We forget what God says. You are mine. You are mine. I loved you first. So we need to have a strong identity. Know who you are in Christ. And if that happens, man, it's not going to matter what other people are going to say. Yeah, it still might hurt you, but you could take that hurt to the Lord and say, God, so-and-so said something. God, so-and-so doesn't recognize me. God, so-and-so said this. They tried to slander my name, but God, I know that I am yours and you are mine. And I know that I am special in your eyes. So God, I'm going to hold on to that. And this pain, this hurt that I have, God, can you help me? Can you deal with it? Sure enough, he will. So when we face it, difficulties like fear or slander. Oh, one thing I also wanted to mention. Matthew chapter 5. Put that up, Jacob, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Just in case someone does slander you, does say evil things about you, hoping that you allow the words not to hurt you that bad. Take it to the Lord. But it says here in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for what? My sake. So I thought, you know what, Lord? If people are going to slander about me, let it be because I follow you. Let it be because I am a child of the living God. Let it be because I am surrendered to you. And so because Jesus says that in verse 12, it says, that's verse 11. Go to the next verse, please. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But it's all because of his sake. Not because I'm trying to be a goody two shoe, but because, or not because I'm trying to strut my stuff or trying to, you know, be the best person in the office or be the best neighbor on the street. No, I want to live my life for God. And if people slander me, man, then let it be because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and they could say all they want. Great reward is in heaven. Amen. So again, it's Dwayne Sheriff, Strongholds. I just encourage you, watch the other video. There's four of those series or four videos of Strongholds, really good stuff. And I just want to close with this prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It is our weapon. God, I pray that we would take it seriously. The responsibility of knowing what you say about us so that we can use your word defensively and offensively. When the schemes of the devil come, when his plans try to create havoc in our lives, in our homes, Father, we pray that we'll be reminded of what your word says, that we have been given weapons that are mighty in you, O God. Mighty in your power, mighty by your Holy Spirit, and that these weapons are useful for the fight that we have. We do not war against other people. We do not war against the flesh. We war against the spiritual things that are out there, what the enemy wants to do. And at times, God, our flesh wants to rise up. Our flesh wants to do the prideful things. Our flesh wants to do the selfish things. I pray, Lord, that every time we learn to bring those thoughts down, that our thoughts will not become higher thoughts, that those higher thoughts will not become imaginations, but God, we will see them for what they are, Lord, and that we will learn to quickly pull them down in the name of Jesus, knowing what your word says. We thank you, Father, for your word. It is our weapons. May we be strong as we battle. May we be strong as we fight against the wicked schemes of the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.